You're listening to Impolite Society with Laura and Rachel.
We're feeling good. We're feeling loose. TGIF to you and you and you.
And me?
You especially, because it's Friday. Oh my God, why didn't I sing that? We're trying not to sing on Fan Fridays, because this is about you. It's not about me. It's not about me.
You, Rachel, she just can't help. She just wants to, no, I want to sing.
But you might be wondering why, A, we're not singing, and B, we're in your ears on a Friday. Well, that's because we are starting something new this Friday. But before we tell you all about that, we should say...
Oh, this is a podcast that you're listening to. It's Impolite Society, guys.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And together, we dig into the topics that you cannot discuss in polite society. And we do some research, we do some philosophizing, and we make a lot of 30 Rock references.
Worth it!
So we are busting the format this week.
Yes, this is our first Fan Friday, and it is a Friday night. We are recording. Rachel has eaten her body weight in shawarma. I have drank my body weight in white wine. And this is the point of the episode, is where we take a question from you, gentle listener, and dig into it. So if you have a question that you want us to tackle on Fan Fridays, send it to rude@impolitesocietypodcast.com, or slip into our DMs on Instagram, or messages on Facebook, or comment on Facebook, you know, all the billion ways that we all connect nowadays.
Even though, just write us a letter, fold it up, put it in an envelope. Write Impolite Society on the envelope, put it in the mail.
They'll find us.
We're like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
It's like the North Pole. They'll make its way to us. We're exactly like Santa Claus, except we do not enslave mass numbers of small, mythical creatures.
All right, PC Rachel. All right.
No. We actually have a whole army of mythical animals right at our disposal. They're called rutabagas.
Isn't that a vegetable?
Rutabaggers, because they're always begging for... more letters to open. So send us your letters, send us your questions.
That was so bad and it's so stinging. Okay, so our first question is pretty interesting. Rachel, why don't you take it away?
Oh my God, it's a doozy. And let me tell you about it. It is not something that I knew a whole bunch about before it found its way into our inbox. It's pandemic related, which... I know we're not supposed to date ourselves here, right? Because, you know, these podcasts will live forever on the internet. So sorry to all the people who are listening in the future, all of the whatever species takes over after humans gone, to whoever you are, research assistant working on your doctorate, listening to this podcast to mark down how many times we said Bella Thorne before the human race vanished into thin air.
I guess we'll get to that.
It has to do with the topic. Okay. But yes, so this is something that entered the cultural zeitgeist in the past year. It went from something that was kind of obscure to now you can just pass people on the street and be like, oh, they might be involved in this. No, and I'm not talking about podcasting.
I was going to say something that we picked up during the pandemic life. I'm like, a drinking problem? Is that what we've all picked up?
No, not drinking or starting a podcast, even though it does feel like everybody has a podcast these days. It's actually that interesting little app called OnlyFans. So we have a question. It comes from Justin in Chicago. Before I get into it, Laura, are you super familiar with OnlyFans at all?
No, I know it mostly from internet memes, as I've discovered that is how I learned of its existence, and I know very little about it. So this research was interesting.
Awesome. So I will dig into Justin's question here. So he writes, I feel like I've been hearing a lot about OnlyFans since we started quarantine. I heard it in lyrics to songs, jokes about it online, and now some celebrities have even made the news when they joined. But I'm not sure what it's all about. Only that it's porn adjacent, so I've been too nervous to really, you know, investigate. So my rude question for you is, what's the deal with OnlyFans?
What is the deal?
I don't get that reference.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's a... Jerry Seinfeld reference. Whatever. Keep going.
Airline food. There you go. I got there. I will say that maybe it was the quality of the impression. So, oh boy, am anyway. I going to tell you. What's the deal with OnlyFans? You're going to freaking find out today. I am going to dig into it. I did a lot of research. And I signed up for OnlyFans, which I will tell
you
about.
No, you did not.
I sure did. I'm a creator on OnlyFans. I take my research seriously.
Where are your topless pictures? I'm going to pay for them.
There is one out there. Not a topless picture, I should say. Or maybe there is. Maybe you listen, and at the end, I'll tell you my handle. Justin, listen up. What is OnlyFans? I feel like the best place to start is by asking OnlyFans themselves. So, according to the website, OnlyFans lets content creators monetize their work by giving them a platform to post their content securely behind a paywall. So, essentially, that just means you take your content and to see it, you have to subscribe. And, I mean, you can subscribe for free, but most of them fall between $5 and $50. That's kind of the range that they have there. A key differentiator for the website is that the money that content creators are making from those subscriptions are going straight into their pocket. So they split profits 80-20 with 80% of the money they make going to the creator themselves, which is pretty major.
Okay.
That's after paying some fees. So I think it ends up being a little like 22% or something like that. But you get to keep a lot of the money you're making.
Much better than like YouTube or other platforms.
Definitely. And the website even has this cool little scroller where if you go to this page about how OnlyFans works, you can slide how many followers you have and then how much you think they're willing to pay to follow you. And it'll tell you how much you can expect to make in a month. First of all, it starts way higher than any number of followers I'll probably ever have in my life. You know, not an influencer. But if you do a conservative amount, 10,000 followers, that's pretty conservative. It's like a micro influencer, right? And you think that they're going to pay $8 a month for your shit. That's less than Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
People would do that if they like you enough. You can expect to make $4,000. And I mean, that's not quit your job money just yet, but that is a nice little bonus.
Yeah, that's solid money. Yeah.
If you're like a solid influencer, like this is your job, you've really leaned into it, and you have 100,000 followers and you only charge them $10 a subscription, you can make, according to OnlyFans, $10,000 to $50,000 a month, which is just like insane, like wild
that
fucky money.
Seems a lot.
But here it gets even better, right? Because it doesn't end there. That's just subscriptions. But because of the tools they have on there, you can actually tip content creators.
Oh, you can tip them. Oh.
I'm sure they don't call it a tip. I'm sure. I never got there. I never got tipped on OnlyFans, so I can't really tell you exactly what they call it. But you can make other donations that help get your content creators' attention. And maybe you can commission things or request specific pieces of content. But on top of that, you can also do like pay-per-view where the creator will send you a message and charge you to view it, which that comes up later in a very interesting way.
Got it.
This is really just a freaking cash cow, and you can see why it caught on so much. OnlyFans has been around since 2016, coming up in 5 years, but saw a huge boom in 2020 with over 1 million content creators joining. 1,000,001, because you got 1,000,001 right here. And there are more than 50 million users. So in other words, the population of South Korea is on OnlyFans.
Jesus.
Not saying that every South Korean is on OnlyFans, but equivalent, you know what I mean?
But yeah. For perspective, got
it's
it.
It's wildly popular. And there's tons of people out there, and they are engaging with their favorite content creators, which you don't even have to see me to hear the air quotes I put around that. Because you can probably guess that there's just not enough target fashionistas or mommy bloggers or travel photographers to keep this business afloat.
I was going to say, $10 a month for what exactly? Because Netflix gives me a lot of options for $10 a month. What could a mommy blogger possibly be giving me for 10? You know what? I don't want to think about it. Anyway, continue.
The illusion of the ideal lifestyle. That's what mommy bloggers give us. But that's not what's happening on OnlyFans. Due to lesser stringent, as in non-existent, rules and the terms of service regarding explicit content, OnlyFans has become synonymous with porn.
And that is what I have picked up from the many internet memes I have observed.
It's wild. There is all kinds of porn on there. For like anything you can imagine. From like straight, hardcore, penetrative sex to kink, twerk videos, implied nudes, and even quote-unquote fitness modeling, which is what I saw a lot of in my brief stint on OnlyFans. There's a lot of fitness accounts, which is just ladies with big booties, which you know, all about the gains. So they have big booties and they're wearing tight leggings and they're like doing their little squat thing and they're pretending that it's fitness.
People are paying $10 a month to see people squat in leggings. You can go to the gym and get that shit for free.
I know. It's like, oh, you want to pay $10 for that girl's squatting photos? I'll give you like 50 cents. I'll get squat. Watch me squat. But really, this is taken off because it is, to quote one of the articles that I read, it's the sweet spot between influencer culture and webcamming.
Because you really want to feel connected to the webcam girl that you're giving instructions
truly,
to.
Truly, I think that plays a big part of it.
I know.
I think the important part is like, the influencer culture is what made it accessible because webcamming has always been a thing and it's always fulfilled a certain itch that regular pornography that like, you know, the DVD or the Skinamax or the internet stuff doesn't scratch because it's not interactive. It's not personal. But with influencer culture, people you're already starting to form these fake relationships with and then you can pay them to see them naked.
It's so sad.
Well, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But, you know, it's just kind of priming the wheel. Is that a saying?
Sure.
It's just really greasing the wheel.
Priming the pump. Greasing the wheel, priming the pump. There
Which
you
is
go.
Also what we do while we're on OnlyFans. I don't know what kind of equipment you're working with. It's 2021. To each their own. But I'm saying is that open the door for this kind of next step. And honestly, if you're thinking about it from an innocent standpoint, it makes a lot of sense that people are out here making content every day essentially for free. They're doing it as a profession. They're really making this stuff and putting it out there. And then the only way for them to monetize it is for them to force these really shitty ads down our throats.
Yeah, but I mean, that is perpetually what television and entertainment is. This is not my quote, but it's from some TV show or something that I think it's 30 Rock actually.
Hell yeah.
You fill the time between Tampax commercials. Like that's what you really do, like as an entertainer, is in television and movies and certainly YouTube, you fill the space between advertisements.
But this kind of flips the script, right? It's the network television versus the cable. You pay for the content, which is what we also, maybe it's not just influencers who are greasing our wheels over here. It's also the streaming services where we think, you know, we're primed and our brain has been conditioned lately to say like I pay for content as opposed to getting the content for free with like the kind of unspoken understanding that I'm also going to have to consume these ads to support it.
Yeah.
And it makes sense from my perspective. But somewhere along the lines, because of the stricter rules on other social platforms and the loose rules on this platform, it really became about sex work. It's actually changing the industry of sex work. For a lot of the, I always want to say women, but you know what? Sex work is an equal opportunity employer. There's men, there's women, there's people who do not conform to either of the genders. All the models, let's call them models, all the models out there, it's giving them an opportunity to work for themselves. It's giving them a lot more autonomy in an industry that's usually profits off of objectifying people or really reducing them to their core functions.
Isn't that also what OnlyFans are doing? But I guess in the end, what you're saying is whether or not the end product is what it is. But in this case, the person who's actually doing the work gets the profit.
Exactly. It's put really well in a documentary on Hulu called OnlyFans, Selling Sex. There is a model.
Quote, unquote.
Yes, there's a woman on there who also did porn previously. And she talked about, you know, hours and hours on set, getting direction, not really having control over what her day was like and working for these guys and making them money, who she didn't like a lot of the directors. She said she really despised them. And now she flipped the script, right? So she is in control. She's the one deciding what she does, with who, putting what where, doing this and that, whatever. She's in charge of it. She sets her own boundaries. She sets her own limits. And she makes 80% of the money that she brings in. And I think it was like, the hourly rate was insanely higher than anything she ever did when she was making porn. mainstream porn. And it's really changing the lives of these people who do this. And there's a New York Times article about it talking about how OnlyFans is reinventing the sex work industry.
Mm. I'm not a fan of sex work. We'll get to that later.
Oh, yes. Which I don't know if I want this one to be the sex work episode, but...
Okay, but we got to touch on it because there's no way you can't touch on it on this kind of topic.
I don't know. This is supposed to be a mini-sode.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez. Well, okay. So, but when there is money to be made, just like in porn, there's going to be people who swoop in and find ways to siphon the money, make a lot of money, you know, make the system work in their favor. There's actually real culture vultures, as they've been accused of being, who are swooping in on OnlyFans to make a lot of money. We love them. We hate them. They're just like us. They are celebrities. And they are jumping on the OnlyFans wagon, and they are wringing every cent out of it. Most notable is Bella Thorne. Do you have any fucking clue who she is?
No clue.
Me neither, because my family did not have cable growing up. Apparently, she is some kind of Disney Channel lady. Aww. Or child girl.
Of course she was.
Yes, yes. I don't know what show she was on. I didn't see any Disney Channel original movies past the Lizzie McGuire one. Did you ever see Lizzie McGuire?
No.
I didn't see Seinfeld. You didn't see Lizzie McGuire. They're obviously equally relevant cultural strongholds. Only history will tell.
I think history has told.
Who's the main star of Seinfeld? I don't know.
Are you fucking kidding? You know who the main star of Seinfeld is.
That was a jest, folks. This is comedy. So she, yeah, Disney Channel star.
Disney Channel damaged starlet, too young, too much exposure.
Swung the opposite way, wanted to be a bad girl, does all this like wild stuff. She's directed a pornography before. She's won an award from Pornhub about her directing. Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of people's impression. So anyways, she goes out on the Twitter, I think like summer last year, 2020, and she goes out there and she's all like, I'm going on OnlyFans, bitches. And she gets everybody riled up. She starts her account. She gets people to follow her. Like, people flock to the app after she says she's going on there, and she makes her account. Homegirl literally rakes in $1 million in 24 hours.
Good for her.
In the first week, 2 million.
Good for her.
Not a lot of people share that outlook, but she did something that was also kind of really shady, in my opinion, too, where she made use of that pay-per-view feature and sent a message to her followers, her fans, whatever they're called. It had a cute little wordsies in there, and I think it hinted at that she was going to be naked in the photo. What happens on OnlyFans, I would know because I've been on OnlyFans, is you get a piece of content and it's got like a little padlock on it, so you can't see it. So they got a message, like a teasing message, and then a grayed out picture, and she said, you can see this picture for $200. People opened it. Girl was not naked.
That sounds like an excellent social experiment, and I think it sounds awesome. Good for her.
It pissed a lot of people off. Not only
Fuck them.
Not only just the guys that she had got all hot and bothered. She greased their wheels, but then didn't let off the exhaust.
Didn't pump the prime, or what do we say? Prime the pump. There.
And she primed the fuck out of the pump, but she did not release the valve. And they were pissed, but also sex workers were very angry.
Why?
Not all of them, but some of them.
Why?
Because they felt that their livelihoods were being jeopardized by this person who steps in. And don't... You say why, but I get it. I get it. Not as an OnlyFans account holder, which I don't even know if that's the right way to describe it. Here we are. I meet people online all the time. All these little independent podcasters out here working, trying to make something out of nothing. And then somebody who just happened to have been on a sitcom that stopped airing over 10 years ago makes a podcast. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's a podcast. And it's kind of annoying because...
Yeah, but it's also the way that the channel gets legitimacy. It's why nobody fucking heard a podcast until Serial. There were tons of people chugging away. And Serial, though, yeah, it kind of pirated, you know, a lot of listeners in the sense of like, oh, you're on there for 5 seconds. You've got so much visibility. I've been doing this for 5 years. I got jack shit. But it also opened the door for podcasts that people didn't know about before. Like, oh, what is this thing? So I think you could also argue that Bella Thorne, whoever the fuck she is, has brought OnlyFans into the limelight for even more lonely, sad men to go on and pay damaged women to show them their hoo-ha.
Okay, I don't think every woman who's on OnlyFans is damaged, but that might be just a difference of opinion.
That's a different conversation.
Oh, yes, yes. But there's some that were not threatened. They're like, she's doing her thing. I got my thing. But imagine you're somebody who's a nobody, like you and I were nobodies, and they scrapped and they fought and they clawed their way up from obscurity to having a solid following. And, you know, there's only so many $10 subscriptions to go around. You're not going to pay Bella Thorne and all these other celebrities and me, Miss Nobody. Anyways, it ruffled feathers, it riled people up. To quote a sex worker who was interviewed in the Rolling Stone, she said, to witness a celebrity gentrifying a platform and making obscene amount of money without acknowledging the plight of sex workers is truly a slap in the face.
Wah, wah, wah. Let me give you $20 so you can slap yourself on the face on your webcam and then see how sad you are about it.
I feel like there's a lot of hostility here.
I have a problem with it.
This is people's livelihood. They're using this
and
to pay their rent.
And no one's taking away for them.
And they're using it to put food on the table. And instead, they see mass amounts of money going to somebody who is already financially secure, already financially stable. I mean, I don't like to see the rich get richer. I don't think anybody does this day and age.
No, I mean, yeah, there is. I think that there is a little bit of a, I guess a understandable bit. Yeah, rich get richer. I mean, but that's just the fucking way of the world. But gentrifying a platform, eye roll.
Well, here's a way that it really did hurt. Again, this is like a suspected thing, but totally makes sense because it was right after the Bella Thorne fiasco. But OnlyFans changed some of its policies, and the belief is that they did it in response to so many of these spited men wanting refunds who thought they were getting one thing and were swindled out of their money.
Fine, fine, fine.
But apparently so many of them demanded refunds, they think, that they changed their rules to cap tips. So it affects how much these women can make, or shit, sorry, I keep doing it, these models or these performers can make at once. They capped that, and they also capped how much they could do for a pay-per-view image. So it does impact the bottom line of these people who might have been able to charge more for stuff, and now the platform won't support that.
That's confusing, though. Why would OnlyFans want to cap the amounts if they get 20% of it? They want that to run sky high. That's confusing. I bet there's more to that than what we're seeing here.
Well, because they don't want to get in the situation where they have to pay it back. Why did the Robinhood stop trades of GameStop? Because they had to pay the whatever. They couldn't afford the actual processing of it as opposed to the money they make on the flippity-flop. Which I shouldn't have even opened that can of worms because I barely understand
it. I don't.
But all I know, long story short, Bella ends up tweeting an apology and everybody said, it's okay, we forgive you, kumbaya.
Well, that's a happy ending.
No, I'm fucking kidding.
Oh.
I'm fucking kidding. It's Twitter. Oh. Of course that didn't go that way.
I was going to say, I was like, aw, you duped me, Rachel.
I don't even want to say Twitter is the Wild West. Twitter is like, it's like Skyrim. It's like running around Skyrim. No. It's like running around Skyrim with all the mods turned on and there's a dragon coming down and it's just like shitting toasters at you. That's what Twitter is. It's insane.
And they lambasted her. Yeah.
Oh, sure, 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 sure. She said she was doing it for quote unquote research. Like, I'm only researching how much my bank account can go up off this. And we've talked about this before. At least just be honest in your intentions. Be like, yeah, I was trying to make a buck. Sorry, guys. I didn't think about y'all.
Yeah.
She, even though she's not posting nudes there because her nipples are precious and she can't show those off, but it opened the floodgate and there's a lot of celebrities on there now. Cardi B, Aaron Carter, from the left to the right, make noise. Do you know that song?
No, but I'm familiar with who Aaron Carter is.
DJ Khaled is on there as well. And I hope he is not nude. He had his own Twitter controversy because he said he would not eat his wife out. He said she can give him head, but he can't give her head.
Hitler. You're a Hitler.
Yeah, he got a lot of flack for that. And he's also got some, ugh, Nicki Minaj has a funny lyric about him in her song, Barbie Dreams. Oh, that's a good song. Anyways, so these people are on there and it actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It makes sense for their platform because people love celebrities. And a lot of the content they put on their Instagrams feels very curated and like very PR teamed at it. I'm looking at you, Ariana Grande. I just want to know what your life is like. I think people would, it makes sense that people would pay to have a more intimate view into celebrities' worlds. So, and that's a different kind of itch to scratch than the sex workers. So I think they're pretty safe there. But it honestly does not surprise me that more celebrities are on there and that people are actually paying to watch them. So that's kind of what's happened with OnlyFans in a nutshell for the last year. You add some extra layers there about like a super secretive founder and parent company that doesn't like publish a lot of information. It's not in the news. And there's a lot of intrigue around that. And you get a whole, you get OnlyFans wrapped up in a tiny bow.
Well, that's what it's about. And it's mostly about porn. So there you go, Justin. That's what OnlyFans is all about.
And so to take my research, my investigative research to the next level, I did make an account. I signed in. I'm on there under an alias.
What's the alias?
I'm not going to tell you. You have to try to suss it out. Out of the 1,000,001 content creators on there, I didn't post any pictures. I do have a profile picture. My face is cut out of it, but it is me.
Are you in a bikini at least?
Actually, I'm in a burqa. That's my way to fight the patriarchy. I'm going to wear a burqa. But I did put it on there. So here's my impression of somebody who signed up. So I signed up, and don't worry, I made like a fake email and everything. There's nothing that ties to me the whole time as an incognito mode. I'm like, I'm really worried about this. So I sign up with my fake email, fake name. I get in there, and I make my account. I put in my little profile picture. And then I'm just like, what the fuck do I do? It's really mind-blowing because it's so opposite of every other social media, which is like, discover this. Look at this. You might like this content. There's literally just one little piece that's, oh, you might like these people. But outside of that, there's no way to find anybody. You can't even search. The way to find someone's OnlyFans is you have to have a URL.
What?
So it's like OnlyFans.com/ their username.
Oh.
I mean, that kind of makes sense because the only people who can find it are your fans, people who already follow you.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Isn't that wild? Yeah. Because like you would think that you could go in and search, you know, like you said, all the different shit that you find on porn sites, like kink stuff. And, you know, I don't know what porn terms are. I don't like you could search that
kink
stuff.
Kink stuff. There MILFs, bukkake.
Oh, bukkake. Okay. I thought you said hockey. And I was like, hockey?
Hockey moms, you know.
I think hockey moms probably is a porn genre.
Definitely step siblings and incest. That's really popular.
Okay, apparently. Anyway, I get what you're saying.
Really, we're degrading as a society.
I there's
Well, the thing is, to subscribe, even if you can subscribe for free, which was some of the things that I saw, you had to put in your credit card before you could even subscribe. Yeah, so that was too bold for my blood.
Nah.
I was not going to put that in there. You also had to put it in there to subscribe, to set a subscription for yourself.
Like subscribe to me.
Yes.
Subscribe to Rachel on OnlyFans.com.
Whatever my secret alias is. There's actually, I've sprinkled clues throughout today's episode. And
no,
if you
haven't.
Deduce them, I'm not.
I know, too like, much preparation. I'm not.
But it's out there. And even if you did see it, there's literally nothing. There's a little profile picture that I thought I looked good in from like 3 years
and
ago.
And you cropped your head
fine.
Out of it.
No, you got to keep the jawline.
Okay.
You keep a little bit of the jawline
okay.
and the hair.
Okay.
That's important.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of any other thing noteworthy about my experience on OnlyFans.
Enter your credit card number. That's generally the experience.
Okay. So I did make a post. I did make one post. And
boobies.
I put it out
boobies.
There. And it was not a nude. Again, it was. I'm a fitness. No, just kidding. I was
doing squats.
So I was like, no, I rent all these freaking clothes. And I take pictures of myself in the clothes. And I'm like, I'll put some clothes out there. Maybe I'm a fashion person.
Influencer. And you didn't even know it.
Exactly. So I put the picture out there. And then it stamps the picture. So the picture's probably still fucking out there somewhere in the grand scheme of things. And it had like OnlyFans / my made up username. And for some reason, seeing that stamped onto a picture of myself was too much for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. It would make me turn my stomach.
I deleted it within like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I was like, get me out of here. And so that was my experience on OnlyFans. Very short-lived. The account's still out there. I'm still boosting their numbers. And I'm sure there are, of the million, I'm going to guess at least 300,000 are accounts like that that were made in July when people were like,
curiosity.
I can make money. I'm going to try to make some money here. Yeah, so that leads us to our musings. I know we wanted to keep this smaller, shorter. Yeah,
this is not short.
A minute musings, minute musings. So this really got me thinking about the future of how we make money and the kind of what we monetize about ourselves. OnlyFans, bloggers, lifestyle influencers, podcasters.
Ayo.
We're all kind of changing how we profit off of our natural abilities, right? Where today, it's expected that you monetize your physical labor or your intellect. But personalities, sexuality, those are the things that have been taboo. Those are the things that have been off limits to make a profit off of. And I think as the robots continue to come for us, they're coming for our jobs, all of our jobs, they're going to do it and they're going to do it better than us.
That's
true. In the future, is a human's place in the economy just to entertain or make these para relationships with other humans?
Ugh, that makes me sad because of that para relationship portion, because it's fake. It's all surface. And that's what gets me about this kind of stuff in general, is just the inauthenticity of it. And it actually, this research brought to mind another website. Have you heard of it? Cameo?
It sounds familiar, but I'm not super familiar.
So it's where like D-list celebrities can be on there and like they sell either chats with fans or like specialty messages. Like I could send you a happy birthday message from Kevin from The Office. I was looking on it, I was scrolling around, and the prices vary greatly. Like, LeVar Burton was like $500, and then James Marsden, do you know who that is?
No.
Spike from Buffy.
Oh, yes! My birthday's coming up, Laura. It's April.
Well, for the low price of $50, he can record you a happy birthday message.
On video?
On video.
You please do that for me. I will return it in an equal value, economic value present on your birthday in June.
And I was just looking at it, I'm like, oh, this makes me feel icky. And like, but there was another one, which I thought was interesting, which you probably won't know this reference because you don't seem like an Adam Sandler fan. Billy Madison, Shooter McGavin, the character, the actor who plays Shooter McGavin. I've seen that actor in a bunch of things. He's a character actor. I can't think of his name. But you know what he's listed as? On there, Shooter McGavin. I feel like I respect that more. Like, he's selling, like, this is the character and this is what I'm selling.
You're gonna get?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not
me. Exactly. And that, I was like, I'm 100% in. People want to buy their buddy a birthday message from Shooter McGavin. That's fun. But, like, a happy birthday message from sad little James Marsden, who's never gotten beyond his, like, it just feels icky, you know?
But I think it's just because that's what our culture, it's outside of the cultural norms, right? It's a taboo. Because you talk about authenticity.
Yeah.
I mean, this is about making money. Are you your authentic self with your boss?
Maybe like 30% of the time.
Exactly, right? So you're Laura, but like a watered down or a curated version of it with the person who decides how much money you make.
Yeah.
I don't see how this is that much any difference. Because not saying it's going to completely replace all relationships.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure these creators, I almost quote, said it again,
unquote.
In the documentary that I watched on Hulu, they had relationships. They had boyfriends and significant others and things that were happening outside of it. It was just they were commodifying that part of themselves.
Yeah. All this stuff on OnlyFans makes me think of an awesome, it wasn't a meme because I think it was actually really before memes, the internet days, like the Wild West internet days. I think it was a 4chan thing. Where all these guys would go to these webcam girl sites, and what they would tell her to do is put her shoe on her head. And like, it was just over and over and over again. And like, they were trolling these webcam sites. And the girl is just like, okay. She'd take off her shoe and just sit it on her head. And like, the guys who were actually there were like, what the fuck? Get out of here with your shoes on your heads.
Oh, gosh.
It just made me laugh so hard. And this is what this reminds me of. It's just... put your shoe on your head, collect your dollars, and move on.
Yes. So the internet, that's crazy. I do think that's kind of the future. So I think that that is going to be...
Fan Friday?
I think, yes, the future. And Fan Friday is the future. So get your pair of relationships on right here with Impolite Society.
It's fake relationships. We love you. Would you like us to put our shoe on our heads?
Right. I'll send you a birthday message for free.
Hey, Justin, thanks for writing. Talk to you later.
Have a happy weekend, TJF.